Good afternoon. You're in the zone.
Hi, is this John?
This is John speaking. Who are
you? Hey, John. This is Stephanie with Billy Talents Management. How are you?
I am very good. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I've got Ben when you're ready.
I am more than ready for the lovely Ben.
Perfect. 1 second. Hey, John, you're connected. I've got Ben from Billy Talent.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Hi, John.
How are you, man?
I am doing very well, sir. How are you?
Very good. Very excited to be given the chance to speak with you again. It's been a couple of years, and I've missed you terribly.
Oh, well, I've missed you as well. Thank you.
I was trying to figure out what the hold music was. It was like this really lo-fi, distorted sort of hillbilly rock track that I was sort of getting into before you came on the line. So
I'm sorry. Do you want me to leave? I'll let you go rock out by yourself.
I'll just go back on hold. Yeah, just put me on hold again. No. So where are you right now?
Where am I? I am in Rimouski, Quebec.
Good grief. Why?
We are playing a rock and roll festival tonight. We had done one here a couple of years ago, and it was awesome. And they graciously invited us back, and so we're here to provide the rocking for the evening.
All right, there we go. Well, I imagine we've not got too long. / I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you've probably got a whole day of this in store potentially. But
no, you're all good. You're my last interview of the day, which is great.
Okay, good.
End on a high note.
So where do we start with Afraid of Heights? I mean, the most important thing for me is firstly Aaron. And what I've loved about this whole procedure so far is that Aaron is still very much in and around documenting everything that the band is doing right the way through this process. He's put together great videos I've been watching intently every time they appear. And so for people that maybe aren't aware of the change around with Jordan Hastings, that talented bugger from Alexis on Fire coming in with you guys, when you decided to make a new album, here's the question. When you decided to make the fifth album, what was the conversation like just to get the process going?
It was not an easy one. Aaron has, and the four of us in the band have been playing together for 23 years. And, you know, Aaron's been diagnosed with MS for quite a long time. And thankfully, he never had any serious bouts or episodes where he wasn't able to perform until recently. And I remember when he sat and kind of told us that he wasn't going to be ready to record the record. It was heartbreaking. It was devastating to us. And not only is he a member and a brother of the band, but he's our best friend, and he has kids and he has a wife. And so when something real like that happens, it kind of punches you in the gut, takes kind of the wind out of your sails in every way, shape, and form. And so we obviously said, you know, okay, well, we'll wait. We'll wait till you're better, and there's no kind of, that's just how it's going to be. But the unfortunate thing with a disease like MS is that it's very unpredictable and very erratic, and you don't know if you're going to get better in 6 months, 6 weeks, or, you know, 6 years, or ever, for that matter, right? So after many hard and difficult conversations, and after a lot of tears and, you know, we decided with Aaron's blessing that he wanted us to go on with the recording, and with the intention that he would be hopefully back up to play live with us when the record was done. I'm sorry that this is a long answer, but I can't give you the short version.
I don't make radio that is chewed up and spat out in 10 seconds. I make real intentful radio where people are humans, and I like to tap into their human nature,
right?
And we have plenty of time. And at the same time with you, mate, I know that you've been asked this question multiple times, and but from my selfish point of view, I'm concerned. I care. I've been invested in this band since I was 14 years old.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
And like when I brought you guys out at Rock the Shores, you know, this is a family of over 25 years, and I feel like I'm a part of it, cheekily from the outskirt. And I want to know that everyone is okay. So with that long answer, that don't be fretful with that moving forward. Was it Aaron's idea to bring in Jordan? Was it the band's? Did Aaron sort of transpose? Did he create the drum parts and say, here's what I was thinking, Jordan? Or did you just go with the flow with that?
Well, it was actually a two-parter. So I can say unequivocally that there was no one else that we even thought of besides Jordan. Because not only is he, I would say, arguably one of the best drummers in our country, but is also equally a lovely human being. And so we had him come down to our studio, a little place that we rehearse, a little headquarters, and you know, we just told him straight up what was happening, and if he wanted, you know, and be willing to dedicate his time and his talent to what we were doing. And he was very emotional about it, and it was very hard for him because he's also very close with Aaron. So, you know, he didn't want to do it per se, but he accepted it because of how much he cares about us and the band and Aaron. So, I mean, it was a very, obviously very strange feeling, but considering the circumstances, it was the best case scenario of a really shitty scenario. So to have him come in, and he learned all the songs for the record, and he obviously did such a great job. And so we were very, very, I'm sorry, there's like a dude with a fucking lawnmower thing in his hand. I'm going to walk over here.
I couldn't hear it. I hope it's not a leaf blower. Those things do my head in.
No, it's like just a dude with like a, you know, a whipper snipper, as I call them, you know, you trim around the edges. I'm at this awkward hotel, so I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to go inside. Oh, hello, everyone. Oh, great. anyway, yeah, so when we asked Jordan, you know, he came in and learned all the songs, and, you know, he only had probably about 2 months, but him being such a great player and a quick learner, and he was very dedicated to the process. So it was actually really great, you know, considering all the oddity and all the struggle and all the strife that went into the decision and to doing it. You know, Jordan did such a great job, and Aaron was there every day and every step of the way. And even like today, so we're doing a couple festivals up here in Quebec. Aaron's out here. He's shooting, he's filming, he's hanging out, which is so great to have him out. And we shot a live video for a song called Louder Than the DJ on Thursday night. And he came in, you know, Aaron directed it and shot the whole thing. So even though he's not necessarily playing right now on the record, he is still part of this band, and he is still part of every decision we make. And we've just been kind of thrown a curveball with it.
Yeah, and his creative work has been really, really good. The videos, the documenting, the whole lot has been really stellar. And that still leads me back to that question then, is that for me, in listening, I've only heard Louder Than the DJ and Afraid of Heights, and we'll get to those, but what I've heard in Jordan's drumming, as a Billy Talent fan and lover per se, is that he's drummed in the style. It just feels, it's not, I don't want to say a homage, it's not the right word, but he fits like a glove. He fits in there. He's not trying to, it for me seems like Aaron has put together the drum parts, Jordan's come in and done them, and you still have that defined Billy Talent backbone, but it's still got Jordan's little flavor in there. His snare work still stands out a little bit, but it still feels like it's that family connection as before.
Well, that's amazing that you would, and thank you for paying attention and listening, because we care about every little sound. So it's nice when people connect with us. So thank you. But yeah, the beautiful thing about this situation was that we had probably 80% of the record already done with Aaron playing.
Right.
And with Ian's, you know, Ian is like the main songwriter of the band in every way, shape, and form. So a lot of the drum parts that Ian had hashed out with Aaron, they had figured out, were already in place. So for Jordan, it was more or less just kind of coming in and learning the groove and the song, but all the parts were already there. There was a couple songs towards the end that had more wiggle room, I'd say. But no, for the most part, Aaron and Ian had the drum parts all figured out. So
fantastic.
But it's also hard because every drummer has like their own thing, right? Like I can sit down and play a song, and then you can sit down and play exactly the same song, and it'd sound different.
Yeah.
So having that, but Jordan knows our sound so well that he knows Aaron's playing so well that it just kind of makes sense, and it sounds even like live when we're playing all like the old, because Jordan's had to learn 50 songs now.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, and you can hear his style, and but it works, and it complements what we're doing. And yeah, so like I said, there was no other option. Like, we weren't going to hire some like douchebag LA session guy, like, hey, you know. But so we hired like our friend.
His Lionel from Santa Monica. He's going to be with us for a few tours. Yeah. No,
what's up, dude? It's like twirling his sticks as he walks in. No, that's not really us, though.
And anyway, I'd love to hold you to you drumming a version, because we know last time we spoke that you like going in and sometimes farting about on the kit before the rest come in. So I reckon the next time The next time we're near each other, I would be honored. You drum a Billy Talent track, then I'll drum it. Because I don't know, well, you definitely don't know this because we're not that close of friends. But the band that I drum in called Stinging Bell were actually opening with the very first band of Rock the Shores this year. So I'm getting to play the same stage that I flipping brought you guys out 2 years ago. And it's our seventh ever show.
Oh, shit. That's great.
Yeah.
So when is Rock the Shores? Is it
tomorrow?
Is it
tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Metric's playing, right?
Yeah, Metric are the headliners on the Sunday, City and Colour Saturday, and then the Friday is all local bands. So it's headlined by Current Swell from here in Victoria, but it's seven local bands. It's called the 7 Mile Social. So,
well, that's a great idea to do that and to showcase local talent. But also, you know, I'm really good friends with Emily and Jimmy, and if you speak to them, tell them that I said hello.
I will.
We were supposed to play golf last week, but we were both busy.
Oh, come on.
You know, obviously Dal is an old comrade, so that sounds like a great weekend. And I remember, you know, when we played, it was great. Like, I remember all of us walking off stage being like, that was so much fun, and everyone treated us really well, and it was just overall it was just a good vibe. So people have a lot to look forward to this weekend.
Oh yeah, big time. No, and I'm I'm just, you know, this time tomorrow we walk out and we sit down at 1:30 our time and we start to play, and we're just we're a little three-piece. I don't want to talk about us this whole time, but just to quickly put in context, we're a three-piece. I drum. We've got Ali, who's actually the promotion director here at the station, who sings, who is one of the best female punk rock singers I've ever seen. I saw her 8 years ago when I was backpacking here playing in a shitty little punk bar in this Cheat the Hangman punk band. And I said to her, if I move here, we have to be in a band together. Then we ended up working together without even knowing a few years later. And then a year and a half ago, we put it together, and we've been quietly playing under different names for the last year or so, because it's that delicate balance between radio and, you know, it's a rock band. We have fun, and that's it. So,
well, that's awesome.
Sorry,
that sounds really like the next step is you're going to be marrying this lovely lady.
No. She's a very confident lesbian. That's why she has that ultra power on stage, where she just rocks out and doesn't give a damn.
Oh, awesome! Well, I can't wait to hear you guys and check it out. Sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, it's heavily inspired by, to be frank, you and the likes of Queens of Stone Age and Black Sabbath. And it's rock and roll with a female in a modern rock time where there's not too many females throwing stuff at you. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I will check it out, definitely. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Let's get back to you, though. Don't expect anything anytime soon, because we're not recording anything for a long time. We're going to try and go old school and just be a great live show and build our name that way. But back to Billy Talent is this.
Yeah.
How's your dad? Is he still on the island?
He is. My old man's out in Comox. And, he's doing very well. He had a couple health scares there over the last year or two. But he's a tough old bastard, and he ain't going down quietly. So he's doing very well and enjoying everything that your beautiful island has to offer him.
Okay, well, if ever you need to send a major package to him, send it to the radio station and I'll drive it to him. That will save you a bit of money.
All right, perfect. He's breaking my balls because we're going to be out in Vancouver to do a show next weekend, just like a small kind of club show. And he's begging, you know, you got to come over, and I actually can't because I have to be back to do this other thing, which he doesn't quite understand. But I was going to try to come over and see the old man, but hopefully next time.
So even he thinks that Vancouver to Victoria is a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, because it's right across the water. I'm like, okay. Well,
all right, so the song Louder Than the DJ, I adore this song for multiple reasons. It's almost like, to me, a cheeky modern-day Smiths jab. And the video is unreal. I love the journey to the record store, and you're utilizing all the artwork of like Sabbath and Queen and Led Zeppelin and stuff, but it's a lyric video, putting the lyrics over it in the same font design. Whose idea was that? And where did you write that song from? Was that a direct hello and wake up to the radio world, to the music industry, or was it just saying to people, you know, rock and roll, we got a voice, let's use it?
Well, I don't think it was necessarily directed towards I remember when he and I were working on the song, and it had like, you know, a very kind of 77 punk kind of Ramones kind of feel to it. We had worked on the lyrics to it at one point. Ian had like the Louder Than the DJ kind of chorus line, and we didn't really know what that meant or where to go with it. So we had one version of it, and then it just didn't work. Like what we were talking about and how we were trying to you know, put it together, it just wasn't vibing it. And so as we do sometimes, we're like, let's just put it to rest and maybe if it presents itself again, we'll reevaluate it. And literally like a year later, we played it for a person that we work with who wanted to hear kind of what we were up to. And we had a whole bunch of demos, and he was like, oh, he loved all of it. He was so excited. And he's like, is there anything else? And Ian's like, well, we have this one kind of song, and I'm getting a very long version of it. But anyway, so we played it for him, and he's like, that's amazing. He loved it. And so he encouraged us to relook at it and to work on it. And so the song more or less kind of came about as in a way that, you know, we going and seeing Rage Against the Machine when we were 14, 15, 16 years old, and seeing bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, Tool, and, you know, that shit changed our lives. Like, I remember seeing Rage and walking off stage and being, or walking out of the, you know, out of the crowd and being like, that's what I have to do. There was no compromise, you know, and literally dedicated my life to being in a band. And luckily enough, I had three other fellas that had the same dedication and were moved in the same way. So we ended up, you know, when this song was kind of coming to be, it was like, you know, we have a lot of friends who are DJs, and we have a lot of friends who, you know, are into dance and pop kind of music and create it. And it's great. But this song is more or less just saying, like, you know, rock and roll is still important and it's still relevant. And if it inspires somebody to maybe pick up a guitar or, you know, sit behind a drum set or have the courage to stand behind a microphone, you know, rock and roll can not only change your life, but it might be able to change a whole bunch of other people's as well, you know. So it's more of like just letting people know that rock and roll is still alive, and it ain't going anywhere just yet.
And use your voice for stuff. You've got some vocal cords, so put them to practice.
Well, you know, it's not some days are better than others. But you do have a, if you got a voice, you have a microphone and you just make it work, you know.